high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
Down and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manungai getting to the corner left. 20, 15, cuts inside 10. Manungai down near the goal line. He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now it's six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Oh. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
All right, happy Monday here at the Scarlet Faithful Podcast. Aaron Brightman wanted to focus on football and men's basketball with this episode. First, just before I forget, big series win for Rutgers baseball, taking 2 of 3 from a ranked Nebraska squad. After a disappointing 1-5 start in Big Ten play, certainly a big series win over a ranked opponent for the Scarlet Knights. So hopefully this can ignite some momentum for them in conference play. More to come on them later this week. Wanted to first get into football. 3 weeks through spring camp at this point, 2 weeks to go. The Scarlet White game is on Saturday, April 27th. Rutgers held their first intra-squad scrimmage of spring camp on Saturday. Greg Schiano met with the media, wanted to touch on a few things he said. One thing in particular, the injury updates, Kyle Manungai and Robert Longerbeam will be out the rest of spring. Said minor injuries and will be full strength, ready to go for training camp. So that's a good sign. Obviously with Tyrene Powell also out, it's no denying a huge part of Rutgers football ceiling for the 24 season is their health. So those are three hugely important figures for this upcoming season. So hopefully, you know, nothing, no setbacks or anything like that. And hopefully Rutgers can get through spring without any other significant injuries. You know, of course, injuries happen. But I think as long as they can avoid those devastating blows, those significant blows in terms of season-ending injuries in the spring, that's a must, right? Even, 2 years ago with Mo Turay and Moses Walker was some positives. Being said about Moses Walker stepping up with Powell out. So that's a positive. But another thing that was interesting, and that's been kind of bandied about by reporters that have been there, but also Shiano's comments, just talking about Shiano specifically talking about the wide receiver room, how they essentially have three new receivers from last year with the obviously addition of Demir Miller from Monmouth, the FCS All-American. Now Nassim Brantley, who had to sit out last year due to eligibility, basically a lack of action from the NCAA on his eligibility, now ruled eligible, former FCS standout as well. And now Chris Long back from season-ending injury. So those are three playmakers at the wide receiver role. You add in to the mix with Christian Dremel, with Ian Strong, with the young players, both returning second-year players and potentially some of the new guys that are in camp as true freshmen. So it's certainly exciting, you know, for the offense to take a step forward. You know, of course, there's going to be a ton of focus on Ethan Calicmanis and Gavin Wimsett. All signs were both completed big passes in the scrimmage on Saturday. No real updates. We're not going to know, you know, until we see the spring game on with our own eyes how the competition really looks right now. But in order for either quarterback to take the offense forward, you have to have playmakers in the pass game. And Shiano pointing out the fact that, you know, Brantley, Miller, and Long are all relatively new and can be factors is obviously a huge plus. I think Demir Miller, you know, expectations are really high. How he adjusts from the FCS level is obviously hugely important to his success. But another positive, just in terms of tight end, talking about Kenny Fletcher, it was reported by NJ.com. He had 5 catches in the scrimmage from multiple quarterbacks. I've obviously been very high on him in terms of when he was on the defensive side. But he's the kind of guy that just strikes me as a football player, super physical and gifted. And if he can become a reliable blocker and pass catcher at tight end for Rutgers, that is a huge boost for the offense as well. And again, a fourth weapon potentially in the offense that they did not have last year. So certainly some encouraging developments in that regard. there's news reported on Monday that Renee Conga, backup defensive lineman, has entered the transfer portal. That window is just open now for football. And, you know, depth, Shano talked earlier in camp about the defensive line needing to achieve their potential, that they fell short of that last year. Depth is obviously hugely important to them being able to do that. Really want to be able to rotate 8 to 10 guys along the defensive line. And, you know, Conga could be leaving for a variety of reasons, you know, one of which could be that, you know, other players are moving up the depth chart ahead of him. So I don't know that for a fact. I'm just saying that could be part of the reason. He could be getting poached. You never know. I mean, there is no transparency right now in any college sports in terms of why players enter the portal. Just the fact that so many do. They all have their own reasons. But you have to have faith in the Rutgers, you know, with the new coaches and also just in terms of the youth they have along the defensive line, finding the right combinations, finding balance, finding depth along the defensive line is another big key to Rutgers taking a step forward as a team in 2024. So encouraging from Shiano and other coaches in spring. But again, the Scarlet White game will certainly be an opportunity for fans to check him out and really see for their own eyes, you know, what progress this team is making. But improving the depth everywhere, wide receiver group, quarterback room, defensive line, you know, safety, cornerback, I mean, everywhere. Can this team get deeper? Can this team get stronger? Can this team get better? And David Anderson and I have talked about a lot that, you know, just because they're going to be better doesn't guarantee more wins. So we'll see what happens, but some spring updates for you there. Wanted to transition now into basketball, transfer portal season, and a lot of intrigue. And some fans, you know, rightfully, I guess, you know, getting restless because the instant need for updates with social media and all that. But, you know, keep in mind that Rutgers is one of the few high major programs that already has two portal, multiple portal additions already. Zach Martini obviously signed, Tyson Acuff scheduled to visit this week. You know, should expectation be he's going to sign any day now. So I've talked at length about what I think they bring to the program, but I think to have those two, you know, two birds in hand already essentially is a huge step forward for this offseason. Middle of April now, I've said for a while now, I think it's going to be difficult for Rutgers. Ideally, I think by the end of the month, they'd like to have the roster set. That might be a bit ambitious. The reality is they can't have the team all together until early June when the summer semester starts. So I think that, you know, the staff is exploring multiple angles. You know, Jordan Durkak, the Northeast Conference Player of the Year, is supposed to visit and reportedly did this past weekend. You know, heavy Penn State and Seton Hall target as well. But in terms of, you know, wish lists, Aaron Bradshaw, the former top two recruit from Camden at Kentucky this past year, he entered the portal. A lot of fans are hoping Rutgers would pursue. And I just don't think that was ever realistic. As I've said, you know, NIL, Rutgers is competitive, I think, against most high majors for players. They're not going to be able to compete against these top 15 funded programs. It's just a reality. And Bradshaw's going to Ohio State. It was announced on Monday. They have one of the most comprehensive and robust, love using that word, NIL packages organization in terms of their collective and what their basketball players get. You know, it's certainly at a different level. And I think that getting upset that Rutgers, you know, and I've seen some comments that, you know, Rutgers is losing out on these players. You know, there's, I've talked about the differences before in terms of, you know, interest, reaching out, due diligence, and actually pursuing a recruit. And, you know, Bradshaw is surely an example of Rutgers, you know, looking into it. But when they, you know, they're not going to waste time. The staff is not going to allocate time and resources to a player they know they can't afford with NIL. And I think that's just, you know, unfortunate, whatever. That is the reality of the situation. And I think, you know, I mentioned the kid from Drexel before, Amari Williams, you know, his asking price over $500,000. You know, it was reported that Rutgers was really pursuing him. I think once they knew that the NIL number was super high, that stopped. And I think I've also spoken about the difference between what Rutgers has and what is actually good value. right? And the big man market is crazy right now. And until some of these guys, you know, obviously Bradshaw fell today, but until a few more of these centers start to land at the top, you know, most expensive programs in terms of an NIL perspective, then the market will start to reset and shake out a little bit. Right now, everything's inflated. And with the big men's inflated, then it rolls down to the other position groups. So there's a lot of time to go here in terms of how things are going to shake out. We know Rutgers needs a 3-and-D wing. We know they need a true big man. I think you're going to look at, you know, ultimately, in terms of what they get is more of a rim defender. I think a guy that can score, create offense on his own in the regard of offensive rebounds, in transition. Those are the types of, I think, skill set they're going to look for a big man who can ultimately be a rim defender. You're going to have a lot of athletic, multi-positional, offensive-first players. You need a imposing rim defender. And listen, you're not going to – I'd be thrilled if they get away from the post-up offense, you know, wasting possessions in terms of posting up. It's just – it's not modern offense. And they did it too much with Cliff, who unfortunately wasn't able to really capitalize on those opportunities either. So this, for me, is encouraging. If this is the routes they go, you know, and you probably get a bigger guard as well. I mean, I think they're going to utilize all three spots. But I think you're seeing a focus and a style that this team is looking to be super athletic. They're going to play at a really fast pace. They're looking to be, multi-positional, very versatile on both ends of the floor. They're going to look to space the floor on offense. They're going to look to be able to be very disruptive on defense. I think you're going to see them press a lot next year. I think you're going to see them look to run and transition a lot next year. And you're going to have a guy like Dylan Harper, who him and Ace Bailey start out in the Nike Hoop Summit over the weekend, who's going to really be able to control things. And you're going to have athletes on the wings. You're going to need shooters. Zach Martini, beautiful, perfect fit in terms of having a spot-up shooter along the arc. They need to get at least one more knockdown, spot-up, three-point shooter. And I think those type of targets are going to emerge soon. So there's a lot of ways this could still play out. In terms of Ace and Dylan, you know, a lot of compliments for Dylan just in terms of how mature he looked on the court over the whole week at the Nike Hoop Summit. Ace, you know, there's some concern out there. And, you know, Sam Vicente with Athletic tweeted it, some fans too, about Ace's shot selection of late. I mean, listen, All-Star games are just different. And while I do think some of the concerns valid, right? Because I think with Ace, it's like he can make so many difficult shots. He just wants to prove it all the time. But also, you know, there's not a lot of structure in these types of games. So I think at Rutgers, you're going to see him rolling off of screens, getting opportunities near the rim through that, through transition, and also just with Dylan running the offense. He's going to benefit from that a lot. So listen, if he's taking contested 20-foot shots all the time next season, yeah, that's going to be a major concern. Do I think that that's how he's going to be utilized and how he's going to be developed? I don't. So no real concern there. But, yeah, of course, you know, you want to see him, develop and grow as a player and use his strengths to the best of his abilities. But the bottom line is East Bailey has a killer jump shot. And when utilized properly, he's going to be lethal. So, you know, there might be some growing pains there. Of course, they're freshmen. I do think I've talked about this. Dylan is more, ready from the get than anyone. I think, you know, he's an NBA guard stepping into the Big Ten where there's not a lot of NBA guards next year. My friend Ant Wright, tweeted that basically Harper and Cam Christie are the only Big Ten or NBA type guards in the Big Ten as of now for next season. So that's just going to be a huge advantage for Rutgers. I don't think people really fathom that. And, you know, it's going to be about getting guys to play roles, right? So there's a lot of time left. It is just mid-April. If people want to panic, they can panic. But I think that, you know, having Acuff and Martini in the mix with who they already know they have coming back certainly puts them, you know, close to having a mix of players that on paper make a lot of sense. Now it's about finding those three other spots, finding the right fit culturally, finding guys that are willing to play certain roles. And just, you know, as a whole, I really think Pikel's looking to have a rotation and you know, positionless basketball, guys he can just really mix it up with, make them so hard, so unpredictable. just in terms of all the different possibilities you have on the defensive end, the offensive end. And, you know, at the end of the day, getting quality offensive players that you can mold on the defensive end. And I think that's what we're seeing. And yes, you know, fans want updates every day. I want updates every day. It's just not going to happen. It's not the reality. And you know what? You don't want Rutgers to take the first five guys they can get either. That doesn't make a lot of sense. There's a real opportunity here that maybe in May they still have a spot open. And, you know, guys that were holding out for a certain NIL payout, you know, their value ended up not being as high. And Rutgers can end up getting a really good value for a player that thought he was going to get more in NIL that kind of lands on Rutgers' feet because other programs are full. So there's a lot of strategy here. It's chess. It's not checkers. And also, just to reiterate, I mean, there's so many players that Rutgers are talking to that are not reported. I've spoken about it before, about reasons they don't want it out there. You know, and it's just, right, I mean, it's like any great coach, right? The more upper hand they can have, less transparency, just in terms of a strategic standpoint, it's hard to argue with that. So while as fans, we want to know everything, we just aren't. And I do think that, you know, Rutgers is making a very pointed and strategic moves this offseason, and there's going to be more to come. So the market's going to play itself out, but the idea that Aaron Bradshaw was ever going to come to Rutgers was just, it was not based in reality. And, you know, that's just a lesson to, you know, things that are said out there on social media. I've said for a while now, you know, don't believe everything you see because it's just not true. And, you know, people want to get attention. That's fine. But, you know, just think of it in terms of reality, right? And I think Rutgers is very competitive. But the reality is they're not going to get the top, the biggest names that are commanding a ridiculous amount of NIL money, whether you think they deserve it or not. You know, the market is going to dictate what people are worth. And right now, there's a lot of high-end talent that are still kind of shaking out what that value is. Rutgers is navigating their way through it. And I think they've really done a very good job of preparing themselves, having different options, and the way they're working right now behind the scenes. I think, you know, they're building the roster the right way. And the bottom line is there's a ton of quality, good players at every level that can help this team win next season. And I'm confident that Rutgers is going to fill out the roster with those players. Thanks so much for listening and watching the Scarlet Faithful podcast once again, and I will talk to you tomorrow.